The following is a free-for-download audiobook from the website krishnapath.org. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 9, The Opulences of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is especially merciful to the innocent, unsophisticated person. His name is Patit Pavan, the deliverer of the most fallen conditioned soul. A conditioned soul may be fallen to the lowest position, but that does not prevent him from advancing in spiritual science, provided he is innocent. Sanatana Goswami was considered to be fallen in the social status because he was in the service of the Mohammedan government and had been excommunicated from the Brahmin society. But because he was a sincere soul, Lord Chaitanya showed him special favor by granting him a wealth of information in the matter of spiritual science. The Lord next explained to Sanatana Goswami about the situation of different planets in the spiritual sky. The spiritual planets are known as Vaikuntha planets. The universes of the material creation have a limited length and breadth, but so far as the Vaikuntha planets are concerned, because they are spiritual, there is no limitation to their dimensions. Lord Chaitanya informed Sanatana Goswami that the length and breadth of each and every Vaikuntha planet is hundreds and thousands of millions of and billions of miles. Nobody can measure billions of miles or measure the actual extent of such Vaikuntha planets. Each of them is unlimitedly expanded, and in each and every one of them, there are residents who are full with all six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in each. In each and every Vaikuntha planet, a different expansion of Krishna has his eternal abode. And Krishna has his original eternal abode on the planet called Krishna Loka, or Goloka Vrindavan. We have experienced in this universe that even the largest planet is lying in only one corner of outer space. For example, the Sun is supposed to be some millions times bigger than the Earth, and still it lies in one corner of outer space. Similarly, each of the Vaikuntha planets, although unlimited in length and breadth, lies in some corner of the spiritual sky known as Brahma Jyoti. In the Brahma Samhita, this Brahma Jyoti is described as Nishkala Anantashesh, or undivided and unlimited, without any trace of the material modes of nature. All the Vaikunthas are like the petals of a lotus flower, and the principal part of that lotus is the center of all the Vaikunthas, and that is called Krishna Loka, or Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, the expansions of Krishna in various forms, as described herein, as well as his different abodes on the spiritual planets in the spiritual sky, are unlimited. Even demigods like Brahma and Shiva cannot see or even estimate how many planets there are or how vast is their extension. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter. No one can estimate the length and breadth of all the Vaikuntha planets, end quote. It is said here that not only the demigods like Brahma and Shiva are unable to make such an estimate, but also Ananta, who is an incarnation of the Lord in his opulences of strength, cannot describe any limitation to the Lord's potency or to the area of the different Vaikuntha planets. In this connection, the prayers of Brahma, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 14th chapter, are very convincing. Lord Brahma says, O my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystic powers, nobody can know or explain your potential expansions through your Yogamaya energy, which extends all over the three worlds. The scientist and the learned man cannot even estimate the atomic constitution of any single planet. They may be able to count the molecules of snow in the sky, or they may even count the number of stars in the sky, but no one can estimate how you descend on this earth or in this universe with your innumerable transcendental potencies and energies and qualities." End quote. Brahma informed Narada that of all the great sages who were born before Narada, including he himself, none could understand the potential strength and energy of the Supreme Lord. So he admitted that if even Ananta, who has thousands of tongues, tries to estimate the Lord's potential energy, he will fail. Brahma prayed, therefore, "My Lord, you are unlimited, and no one has estimated the limit of your potencies. I think that even your lordship does not know the range of your potential energies. An unlimited number of planets float in the sky, just like atoms, and great Vedantists who are engaged in research to find you find everything different from you, and at last they decide that you are everything." End quote. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, Brahma played a trick on him in order to confirm that the cowherd boys in Vrindavan was actually Krishna. By his power, he stole all the cows and calves and the friends of Krishna who were engaged in herding the animals. But when he returned from hiding them to see the result, he saw that Krishna was playing with the same calves and cows and cowherd boys, because by his Vaikuntha potency, he had expanded all the stolen cows, calves, and friends. He saw millions and billions of them, and he also saw millions and billions of tons of cane and fruit and lotus flowers and horns. And all the cowherd boys were decorated with different clothes and ornaments, and nobody could count their vast number. Brahma saw that each of the cowherd boys had become a four-handed Narayan, like the predominating deity of each Brahmanda, and he saw that innumerable Brahmas were also engaged in offering obeisances to the Lord. He also saw that all of them were emanating from the body of Krishna, and after a second they were also entering into the body of Krishna. Brahma became struck with wonder by this extraordinary feat of Krishna, and in his prayer he admitted that anybody and everybody could say that he knows about Krishna, but as far as he was concerned, he did not know anything about Krishna. Quote, "My dear Lord," he said, "the potencies and opulences which you have exhibited just now are beyond the capacity of my mind and understanding." End quote. Lord Chaitanya then explained that not only Krishna Loka, but even Krishna's abode on this planet, known as Vrindavan, cannot be estimated in potency. Vrindavan is estimated as 32 scriptural miles, but even though Vrindavan in India is 32 miles, yet in some part of Vrindavan, all the Vaikunthas exist. The area of the present Vrindavan consists of 12 forests and is about 84 crores, or 186 miles in area. But Vrindavan city is estimated at about 16 kroshas, or 32 miles. The Lord again said that the potencies and opulences of Krishna are unlimited. Whatever he told to our Sanatana Goswami was only a partial presentation, but by such a partial presentation, one can at least imagine the whole. While Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Sanatana Goswami about the opulences of Krishna, he was deep in ecstasy, and in that transcendental state, he began to cite a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, which runs as follows. After the disappearance of Krishna, Uddhava, when he met Vidura, spoke as follows. "Krishna is the master of all demigods, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the expansion of Vishnu within this universe. Therefore, no one is equal to or greater than him, and he is full in all six opulences. All the demigods engaged in the administration of each Brahmanda offer their respectful obeisances And therefore the helmets on their heads are beautiful, being decorated with the designs of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. End quote. Therefore, as is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5th chapter 1st verse, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one can be equal to or greater than him. That is the conclusion. The rulers of this universe, known as Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, although being masters of each and every universe, are also servants of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is also the cause of the Mahavishnu, or the first incarnation controlling this material creation. From Mahavishnu, there is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. Krishna is the master of the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, the Kshiradakshayi Vishnu, and he is also the Supersoul within every living entity and every universe. Mahavishnu is described in the Brahma Samhita. Through his breathing, innumerable universes are produced, and in each universe there are innumerable Vishnu tattvas. But Krishna is the master of all of them, or they are partial planetary expansions of Krishna. From revealed scriptures, it is understood that Krishna lives in three transcendental places. The most confidential residence of Krishna is Goloka Vrindavan. He stays there with his father, mother, and friends, and he exhibits his transcendental relationships and his mercy amongst his eternal entourage. There, the Yogamaya acts as a maidservant in the matter of his dancing of Rasalila. The residents of Vrajabhumi think, "The Lord is glorified by particles of his transcendental mercy and affection, and we, the residents of Vrindavan, have not the slightest anxiety on account of his merciful existence." End quote. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5th chapter, 49th verse, "All the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are below the planet known as Krishna Loka. The other planets are known as Vishnu Loka. In that Krishna Loka, the Lord enjoys his transcendental bliss in multiple forms, and all the opulences of the Vaikunthas are fully displayed in the one Krishna planet. The associates of Krishna are also full with six opulences." In the Padmalar Khand, 225th chapter, 57th verse, it is stated that the material energy and the spiritual energy are separated by water which is called the Vidroja River. That river is flowing from the perspiration of the first incarnation of Purusha. On the other bank of the Vidroja is the eternal nature, unlimited and all-blissful, called the spiritual sky, which is the spiritual kingdom, or the kingdom of God. The spiritual planets are called Vaikuntha because there is no limitation there, no fear, and everything is eternal. The spiritual world is calculated to be three-fourths of the energies of the Supreme Lord, and the material world is one-fourth of his energy. No one can understand this three-fourths, since even this material world, which is only one-fourth of his energy, cannot be described. Lord Chaitanya now tried to convey to Sanatana Goswami something about the extent of the one-fourth display of Krishna's energy. In this connection, he cited an incident from Srimad Bhagavatam when Brahma, the Lord of the universe, came to see Krishna at Dwarka. When Brahma, the first creature of this universe, approached Krishna, the doorman informed Krishna that Brahma had arrived to see him. On hearing this, Krishna inquired as to which Brahma had come. The doorman again came to Brahma and asked him, "Which Brahma are you?" Krishna has asked. Brahma was struck with wonder. Why was this question asked by Krishna? He informed the doorman, "Please tell him that Brahma, who is the father of the four Kumaras, who has four heads, has come to see him." The doorman informed Krishna and then asked Brahma to come inside. Brahma offered his obeisances unto the lotus feet of Krishna, and Krishna received him with all honor and then asked him why he had come, what his purpose was. Brahma replied, "I shall speak about my purpose in coming here, but first I have a doubt. Will you kindly remove it? You have asked through your doorman which Brahma has come to see you, so may I inquire if there are any other Brahmas beside me?" On hearing this, Krishna smiled, and he at once called for many Brahmas from many other universes. The four-headed Brahma then saw many Brahmas coming to see Krishna and offer their respects. Some of them had 10 heads, some of them had 20, some of them had 100 heads, and some of them had 1,000,000 heads. This four-headed Brahma could not even count the Brahmas coming to see Krishna to offer their obeisances. Krishna then called many demigods from other universes, and all came to offer their respects to the Lord. Seeing this wonderful exhibition by Krishna, the four-headed Brahma became nervous, and he began to think that he was just like a mosquito in the midst of many elephants. All of them came and offered their respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Krishna, and therefore Brahma thought that nobody can estimate the unlimited potency of Krishna. All the helmets of the different demigods and Brahmas shone as they assembled there, and when they combined together, there was a great sound of all of them off praying to the Lord. They began to say, "My dear Lord, it is a great mercy upon us that you have called us to see you. Is there any particular order? If there is any order, we will carry it out at once." End quote. Lord Krishna replied, "There is nothing especially required of you, but I wanted to see you, so I called you all together at one time. I offer my blessings upon you. Don't be afraid of the demons." End quote. All of them replied that by his mercy everything is all right. There are no disturbances at the present moment. By your incarnation, everything inauspicious is vanquished. End quote. As each of the Brahmas saw Krishna, everyone thought that Krishna was only within his universe. After this incident, he wished all the Brahmas farewell, and after offering their respects, they returned to their respective universes. On seeing this, the four-headed Brahma, who had come to see Krishna, at once fell down at the feet of Krishna and said, "What I thought about you before is all nonsense. Let everyone say that they may know you in perfection, but as far as I'm concerned, I cannot even conceive how great you are. You are beyond my conception, beyond my understanding." End quote. Krishna then informed the four-headed Brahma, "This particular universe is only 400 million miles broad, but there are many other millions and billions of universes which are far, far greater than this one. Some of them are millions and billions and trillions of miles broad. All these universes require strong Brahmas, not only four-headed." Krishna also informed Brahma, "This is only one quarter part of my creative potency. The three-quarters part of my creative potency is in the spiritual kingdom." End quote. The four-headed Brahma then parted from Krishna after offering his obeisances, and he could understand what the meaning of the Lord of the three-quarters energy was. The Lord is therefore known as Tradesha. This name stands for his principal abodes, namely Gokula, Mathura, and Dwarka. These three places are full of opulences, and Krishna is the master of all of them. Krishna is therefore situated in his transcendental potency. He is the master of all transcendental energies, and he is full with six opulences. Because he is the master of all opulences, all the Vedic literature claims Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya then sang before Lord Chaitanya a very nice song about the opulences of Krishna. Quote, "All the pastimes of Krishna are exactly like the activities of a human being. Therefore it is to be understood that his form is like that of a human being. A human being is an imitation of his form. His dress is just like a cowherd boy's, with a flute in his hands, and he seems to be just like a newly grown youth, always playful, playing just like an ordinary boy." End quote. The Lord wanted to explain to Sanatana Goswami about the beautiful aspects of Krishna. He said that if anyone can understand these beautiful qualities of Krishna, he is dipped into the ocean of nectar. One of Krishna's potencies is called Yoga Maya, which is transcendental and beyond the material energy, but he exhibits his transcendental potency even within this material world just to satisfy his confidential devotees. His appearance in this material world is meant for his devotees. His qualities are so attractive that Krishna himself becomes eager to understand himself. He is fully decorated and stands with his body curved in three ways, and his eyebrows are always moving, and his eyes are so attractive that all the gopis become enchanted. His special abode is on top of the spiritual sky, and he resides there with his similar associates, the gopis, and all the goddesses of fortune. He is known there as Madan Mohan. There are different pastimes of Krishna, such as his pastime in the forms of Vasudeva and Sankarshan. In the material sky, his pastimes are as the first incarnation of the Purusha, or the creator of the material world. There are also pastimes as the incarnations of the fish or tortoise, as manifestations of his incarnations of energies. There are his pastimes in the form of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as the incarnation of material qualities. His pastimes as King Prithu, as an empowered incarnation. His pastimes as the Supersoul in everyone's heart. And his pastimes as the impersonal Brahman. He has innumerable pastimes, but the most important pastimes of Krishna are his human-like activities, in which he frolics in Vrindavan, dances with the gopis, plays with the Pandavas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and plays in Mathura and Dwarka. The most important part of his exhibition of pastimes is in the human form, especially as a cowherd boy with flute in hand, and appearing just like a newly grown youth. A partial manifestation of his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan and Dwarkavati or Dwarka can overflood the whole universe with love of Godhead. Everyone can become attracted by the beautiful qualities of Krishna. The manifestation of his internal potency is not even exhibited in the kingdom of God or on the planets of Vaikuntha, but he exhibits that internal potency within the universe by descending from his personal abode through his inconceivable mercy. Krishna is so wonderful and attractive that he himself becomes attracted by his beauty, and that is proof that he is full of all inconceivable potencies. So far as Krishna's ornaments are concerned, when they decorate his body, it appears that the ornament does not beautify Krishna, but that the ornament itself becomes beautiful since it is on his body. He appears always curved in three ways, and he attracts all the living entities and all the demigods. He attracts even the Narayan form in each and every Vaikuntha planet.